Welcome to the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast, where our goal is to help you increase your reputation as a leader, increase your ability to influence others, and increase your ability to fully engage your team to deliver remarkable results. Hi, I'm Perry Holly, a John Maxwell facilitator and coach.
And I'm Chris Cody, Vice President with the John Maxwell Company. Welcome and thank you for joining us. Hey, just as a reminder, visit johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast. There you can download the learner guide for this episode. Also has a link to our blog that Perry writes for us. Or you can leave a question or a comment that you may have that we can address on a future podcast with you. We're grateful for you listening to us and would love for you to share this episode because I think there's many of us. And I look at Perry because I was going to say, this is for me, this lesson's for me, but he admitted right before we started that it may be for him. So we have a dual intervention going on here with each other. Yep. But what I'd love to do is just make sure that you share that with a friend of yours if you feel like this is appropriate to them. Well, today's topic is titled, Question Leaders Ask to Find or Create Margin in Their Life.
Let's say a little more with conviction.
Yeah.
Questions leaders ask.
Yeah. You notice I'm hesitantly trying to read through this because I think what happened was Sarah, my wife, probably sent Perry an email and said, you need to talk to him about this. But, you know, naturally we default to, well, we love what we do. We just did it, right? Yeah. We're like, we enjoy it. And you're like, well, somebody's got to do it. And we don't really even know what margin is. And we all kind of just run in from meeting to project to plane to company to company, and we don't have far. So, Perry, how are we going to do this? What's going on?
Well, no, it's a common theme. I see it in a lot of the executives that I have the pleasure of coaching, that they book every minute of every day and try to maximize their productivity. Unfortunately, booking every minute only makes you busy, not productive. And on top of that, it's just not sustainable. It might seem like a good idea, but it doesn't allow you to give your best, I don't think. And to you, your team, or your business, to your family, it's just not a great way to live. So I'd love to talk about, are there ways we can find margin or create margin through some intentional behaviors?
Yeah. I was talking to a leader the other day. We'll call this leader second in charge. And he's like, hey, one of my challenges, and I happen to be coaching the CEO, the first one in charge, we'll call it that. And the second in charge is saying, one of my frustrations is that our leader, we have organizational structure set up in order to force, in essence, our team to take some time away and refresh. But our CEO doesn't do it. And yet, so he's modeling the behavior, even though we have organizational structure that's opposite. And now everybody's looking at the CEO, and this CEO is about to go through burnout. And so I think we all deal with it no matter the organization and where we're at. And this kind of feels like a continuation of two podcasts that we've had lately, which is the first one was on being more productive, the second one on employee well-being. And but now we're talking about the leader's well-being while remaining productive. When it comes to this.
Yeah. I believe if you really want to give your best for your team, organization, your family, yourself, that you need to have some margin and a way as a way for you to focus and renew your energy. There's a great book on this. Dr. Richard Swenson defines margin. The book's called Margin. I thought it was kind of made me smile, but it's also serious too, that he defined margin as a space between our limits as human beings and the expectations placed on us by society, by ourselves, even by the technological process. He said it's really the space between our load and our limits. And I just know that in my own life, as you mentioned, your wife, mine, has also pointed out that you don't really have a lot of margin. You just go from thing to thing to thing. What are you doing for yourself, and how are you renewing that energy to give your best?
Listen, business and life now is faster than it's ever been, right? We like to say fast is faster than it has been in the past. And there's no lack of things to do on our to-do list, whether it's our honey-do list or whether it's our work to-do list. And we always want to try to do what we can to keep up or get ahead. So let's talk about some things a leader can do to intentionally build margin, right? And we love that word intentionally around here. And so we've got to be proactive and be intentional about it in our schedules. So Perry's divided this up into two components for us. The first one, questions I ask to find margin on my calendar. Mm-hmm. And then the second one we're going to talk a little bit about is questions I ask to find margin in my life. So let's talk about the calendar first.
Yeah, let's, most leaders that I've found, a calendar drives our day. Everything is timed down to 15 or 30 minute increments. I get thank you from coaching clients when I end a call 5 minutes early because now they know they can go to the bathroom before the next call starts. So I get a lot of accolades for that. But let me just do a kind of quick hitter here. I'll share the question. Maybe you could give some insights. We'll bounce it back and forth a bit.
Hey, real quick, you don't get accolades for the first 55 minutes? Was that just
that's right.
Yeah, we need to have a conversation after this podcast.
I didn't know I had a problem. All right, questions I asked to find margin on my calendar. The first question I said, have I pre-populated my calendar with my priorities? We talk about big rocks, but have I pre-populated with my priorities?
Yeah, we can easily, and probably most of us do, give away our margin by allowing others to have the kind of first pick of our calendar. Yeah. I like to say you are your number one draft pick, right? You're the first round, you're the number one pick. And you should be thinking about your week, thinking about your day, and making sure that you have the number one spots on those calendars for what you need and your priorities.
And then I think, have I built any buffer between activities to allow myself time to process, reflect on any actions? Had a boss once, he would take to-dos. I go, when do you do your to-dos? And he said, I schedule them. I thought, okay, there's something to that, to build some buffer in there.
Yeah, I used to, from a calendar standpoint, I used to have meetings, you know, on the hour, every hour. And then I shifted them to 45-minute meetings. And now I try to even get them accomplished in 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. Now, what I want to encourage leaders out there, if you have not adapted the common language of the five levels of leadership inside your culture, I would encourage you to do so because it helps you be a little more productive on some of these calls. Now, some calls, there's connections, there's relationships, all that kind of stuff. But I'll give you an example. Just this morning, I was on a call, and it was from 8:30 to 9. We had a lot to cover, and it was a last-minute call that I'd put together, and everybody was able to kind of make the call that I needed to be on the call and move some things around. So I got on. Here's what I said. Hey, listen, love y'all. We got a lot to cover. I'm going to go straight level 3, right, production, and went right at it. And 30 minutes was tight, but we were really, really productive in that. That allowed them to kind of step away before their next meeting, whatever it might have been. But I think there are ways for us to make sure that we aren't just booking on the hour every hour and then going from one to the other. How do we allow ourselves some margin, to your point, to capture some thoughts, to capture our to-dos and what that might be coming out of that meeting?
Another question I had was, am I needed for every call I'm invited to?
This is a tough one. Yeah, you know, I mean, we want to be needed. I think it's a great question. But are you really needed? I think the question here is, I think you should ask yourself, what decisions are going to be made on this call? And goes back to what we've talked about, level 4 in developing people. As you begin to build your team, is there somebody else on your team that could be on that call for you?
Right.
Could they handle that call 80% as good as you could the first time, and then 85, and then 90, 95? Probably. But ask yourself, what decisions are going to be made? And if you don't need to be on that call, then I would encourage you to think about using another person on your team to be able to do that, to build some margin in your life.
And that was actually my next question. Is there someone that could be on the team, that could be on the call in your place? But it's, you know, we talked in a previous podcast about seeing it work without me or seeing it work because of me. And that, are you building a team that can work without you and that you can delegate more of that out? Am I doing the things that only I can do? Is another question we bat around quite a bit.
We do, yeah. Yeah, this is one of my favorite questions that I think every leader should be asking of themselves. We get ourselves tied into so many things that other people on our team could be doing. Yes, I know that maybe it takes a little bit on the front end to get them up to speed, but man, I promise you, if you could just, you know, my word for the year is develop, because I struggle with this. Like, I'm like, oh, you know what? It'll take me 5 minutes, for example, mm-hmm. versus it'll take me 30 minutes. But what I don't realize is then down the road, it wouldn't even take me that 5 minutes because that team member is doing it and doing it better than I am. And so I think leaders, you need to continue to ask that question of yourself.
Another question I had was, have I established clear boundaries for where I should be spending my time? There's so many things to choose from, but what's inbounds and what's out of bounds?
Yeah, there's this quote, you may have heard it, or a statement, and I don't know where it comes from, but they say, wouldn't you rather build a fence at the top of your yard, right, than a hospital down at the bottom of the cliff? And so many of us, when we don't build margin in our calendar, you know, we're going to be in that hospital, whether it's a health issue or whatever might be going on. And so I think you got to just like you fence around your yard, I think we got to make sure that as leaders, we do that around our calendars. We got to have boundaries.
The last one that was meaningful to me was, and it was one of my boundaries, was have I established clear start and stop times for my day?
Yeah, this is, if you don't do this, your work will bleed over, right? I think you have some great examples you've shared in the past about you being at home, working from home, and just you naturally are gifted and passionate about writing and creating content, and you, it just could go on. And I know Bonnie has said, hey, let's set a time. Yeah, let's set a time. And so whatever it is, whether you force yourself to get up and leave and transition to home or different place or whatever, try to set those boundaries up, because, man, work will just kind of spill over into that.
Well, work expands to fill whatever time you allot
whatever
to it.
Time.
So I know that if I say I'll stop at 6, I have work till 6. If I say I'm going to 8 p.m., it'll fill up to 8 p.m.
Yeah, it
and
will.
Guess what? It'll be there tomorrow.
And it'll be there tomorrow. That's exactly right. One of the greatest things that I've kind of, the self-talk is, even if I complete everything on my to-do list today, when I get there tomorrow, there's something else there. And so I make sure I get the important stuff done, and then what doesn't, it carries over the next day. So, well, let's move on then to the questions you asked to find margin in your life. So moving from calendar to your life.
Yeah, this might surprise you, but I'm just going to go with what I'm finding in my own life. So the first question was, what time do you get out of bed?
I love that question. So in my household, I'm an early riser. My wife's not, but she's like, I get more work done, while you're sleeping from 10 to midnight. And so it just depends on what your day looks like. Just get up a few minutes earlier than what you normally would schedule to be able to do that, to give yourself some time to invest in yourself and pour into yourself. The other thing, too, is I find it for myself when I do this, I'm just not rushed. Like if I can just have a pace in the morning, have time to invest in myself, whatever that might look like for each of you. And then really it's about that pace. And now it's time for me to kind of then leave or go on to the next thing. I just feel like it resets me and puts me in a good place.
And then I have to ask you, did you make your bed? What
No.
time did you get out of bed, and did you make your bed?
No, I did not. I'm not answering either one of those questions. But this is another great thing that you talk about and written and talked about a bunch, which is starting your day with an action, with completing something. And it's just momentum builds off of that if you start your morning with your action.
Well, I do give you an exemption. If someone is still in your bed, don't do that. Okay?
Yeah, I made my side of the bed. Right? Does that matter?
Another question to follow on with the same theme here is your morning routine working for you or against you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we all have a morning routine. Whether you like it, you do have a morning routine, but is it working for you or against you?
Yeah, and I think this goes back to that not being rushed, right? Mm-hmm. I think when you come up and you have to leave, let's just say at 8:30, right? And you're rolling out of bed at 8:15, and you're rushing. I think this just kind of sets you up the rest of the day. That just makes you feel like you're playing catch up. You're behind. You didn't have any type of plan for yourself to pour into yourself, or you weren't intentional about the first couple minutes of your day. A lot of people, unfortunately, and I've read some articles on this, where the worst thing you could do right before you go to bed is be on an electronic device, and the worst thing you do when you wake up in the morning right away is be on an electronic device. Mm-hmm. And so many people have it sitting right there at their nightstand, and that's what they're doing. And so we got to be intentional, begin thinking through this. If you have got to make sure that you are creating margin for yourself personally. And I would challenge that being even outside of social media. Margin in your life is not when I'm sitting around checking social media.
And I did have another question there. I think you just answered that, though, about how do you invest the first minutes or hour of your day. So great on that. Another one I had was, this was big for me. Have you learned the yes-no paradox? And to me, what that means is that when I say, just recognize it, when I say yes to one thing, I've by default said no to something else. Sounds pretty logical, but I don't think we operate by that.
No, we don't.
We say yes to too much.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that if you would just explain your no in a way, maybe it's easier for you to communicate the no about the fact that you can't accomplish it when they need to accomplish it. Maybe you say yes, but then you give a different maybe timeline, not, you know, you don't leave it open-ended. Because when I do that, when I say yes to somebody and I don't put specifics behind that, give me enough cushion of space, then I get stressed out. It sits up here, takes in my head, takes up space, and then it takes away all margin in my life because it's continuing on my mind about it.
Well, I'll tell you where I used this. I felt like it was risky, but it turned out not to be. Was a lot of my margin was eaten up by a boss or others in the organization asking things of me that were in my job description. But Perry, can you handle this? Perry, can you do that? And then I was already working on something else, and I would just say yes, of course, and then any free time or margin I might have had is now consumed with all these side projects that. And I'm honored that you think I can help, but a day I just turned around to my boss and said, if I say yes to doing what you just asked me to do, I'm going to need to say no to one of these three things. Would you like me to help me with my priorities?
Yeah.
And when I said that, he looked at me and goes, I never thought of it that way. Let's focus on these two, and I'll get somebody. All of a sudden, my margin returned, and I was able to focus on the work that was important. Another one was, is your evening routine working for you or against you? What are your thoughts on that one?
Well, listen, it goes back to even what I was just talking about with technology. And for me, it's, you know, it's ESPN or it's some type of sporting event. And I think one of the things we ought to really think about is, are we intentionally spending and investing with time with other people? We always say that we don't have enough time to socially do this or hang out and do this. Remember, we're talking about margin in your own personal life. But really, if you became intentional about how you were using every hour of your calendar, it'd be interesting if you took away some of that time mindlessly watching TV and just spent time or invested with other people. And then, like we've talked about on so many podcasts, ask really good questions, mm-hmm. Man, the richness that would come of that conversation, the margin built in your life would be phenomenal.
And the last one, it's similar to others that we've talked, but it really, I've just seen this happen so much in my life and others, but are you, how good are you at saying no to things that might sound nice to do, but only feed your FOMO, your fear of missing out?
Yeah, this is becoming, I think, more and more important with upcoming generations that are tied to what I, again, would call social media. And that FOMO thing is real. And it's not even just fear of missing out of that particular experience, but it's then what would that experience lead to? And your mind goes, well, if I go here, then will they invite me there? And will they do this? Or if I go here, does this give me an opportunity over here at work, right? And I think you got to go through all of that. And that strategy, the fear of missing out, is absolutely a negative one when it comes to the margin on your personal life.
Well, my wife is so good at this one. She'll say, no, we're not. I'm not doing that. I go, but it would be so great. You would meet so many people. I got 10 reasons why she should do it. She says, no, it's too much. It's too much for me on that day. I go, oh, my gosh, yeah. I don't do that well. So I want you to wrap it up for us.
Yeah, just say no, right, and be present where you are. I totally understand. Well, I think these are really just two thought-provoking questions for you that Perry has really kind of posed for us, multiple questions in two different components, two different areas. Questions I ask to find margin on my calendar and questions I ask to find margin in my life. I think what I love about this is that if you figure out number one, it will take care of number two, right? And so your calendar is so important. Now, let me just tell you from personal example. I will block out time, think time, different time for family things, whatever. And to one of our points in the conversation today, I let things bleed into those. Mm-hmm. I have an individual on my team, and you know who this is, who has a hard stop. And he comes in, and first thing he says is, I got a hard stop at 1:30. And at 1:28, you see him starting to get fidgety, looking at his watch, not paying attention. He gets up and leaves at 1:29. He's there at 1:30. Man, what if we treated everything in our life on our calendar, and we calendared it right, and then we'd be – and I know some of you are going, well, you don't know my schedule. And I understand all of that. We got to have some flexibility. But, man, if we're not intentionally thinking about this, before we know it, you know, things are just going to completely take over and control our calendar. And we're not going to have any margin, you know, on our calendar or in our personal life. And I think that would be a great disservice to you and your personal journey.
I do think it would help you give the best version of you to your team, your company, and your family. So, well, thank you, Chris. And just a reminder, I did put all these questions in the learner guide. If you'd like to review those, you can also learn more about the five levels of leadership. And we'd love for you to find all that at johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast. You can also leave us a question or a comment there. We always love hearing from you. And we're always grateful that you would spend these minutes with us each week. That's all today from the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast.